I saw you sitting in the rain.
Do you recognize that song? I'm sure you do. The Cowsills had a huge hit with it. And I'm so glad that we have two of the Cowsills with us right now. Hello, we have Susan and Paul with us. Hi.
Hey, Larry. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Larry. Hey, everybody.
That song had to just be magic when it all came together. Do you remember... hearing the first studio recording of that song and just how it sounded to you?
Well, what I remember first about Rain in the Park was actually on the radio. You know, we were really young, so as they were getting everything together, I don't think any of us really knew what was happening. But boy, when you heard it on the radio, it was a very, very exciting thing.
Oh, I'll bet.
It was a very exciting thing. And for me, because I was really little on account of, you know, I wasn't really officially in the band yet, Larry. So I was probably around 7 and a half. And I was so young, I couldn't figure out how we got in that radio. How did we get all of our bodies in there? And how am I sitting here listening to this? This is magic.
And, you know, we're talking about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood and his new album. And I know from talking with his wife, Joanne, and also reading a biography of him and some other works, is that when his kids were very young, they would point to him on television and say, "Other daddy." So there's the daddy at home, but then other daddy.
That is very funny.
One thing, I've loved your music for years, and, you know, Hair was just a monster hit for both of you, or both, all of you, as a group. I think you've been compared, or have been said to be the inspiration for the Partridge Family, given the way you had a really loving, successful family group. And I don't know if that comparison is one that you enjoy. I would hope it is, because watching you perform and seeing you all with one another truly playing and singing, it's just joyful to see you all together as a family.
Well, it is joyful, Larry, because we are so grateful and happy to still be all these years later playing with one another. And really honestly, and Paul will back this up, the only reason, I mean the initial reason that we got back together, quote unquote, like we never broke up, but why we stay together is so that we can hang out. So we can be together.
Sure.
and be, that's how we kind of came up as a family, by playing music. So it's our second nature, and the joy you see is 100%.
Yeah, it's incredible. Was Bill and Barry and Bob in the beginning? Is that...
Paul, you want to give them a little rundown?
Yeah, so you're talking about the very beginning, Larry?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it started with Bill and my mom. And Mom taught Billy how to harmonize. And so Mom and Bill would harmonize all through the house. I mean, we heard it all the time, actually. Even as I think about it now at 68, I still remember those two doing that. And remembering how beautiful it was. And then Bill all of a sudden started teaching Bob all the stuff, you know, that he had learned, and just, you know, with all the music that was coming on and this whole thing, you know. And so then Bob and Bill took off, man, leaving Mom in the dust as best they could and as quick as they could. And
Teenagers leave Mom in dust.
I know. And then Barry, and so Billy and Bob were doing their thing, and, you know, it was a hootenanny deal, and, you know, in a kind of a folky kind of thing. And then, you know, as things started revving up with Motown in the early 60s and Elvis in the early 60s and all that, and so Bill and Bob and Barry started jazzing up and getting, oh, wow, this is great, you know. And then, and so they were a threesome. And so then the guys, Bill and Bob, they saw the Ed Sullivan Show, and they're looking up there, and they're going, Jesus, what is that fourth guy doing? What does he have in his hands? Because Billy and Barry and Bob were just two guitars and drums. And now they see the Ed Sullivan Show, and they see a bass player, and they go, wow, look at that. And so they come in back into the family, and there was always a pick. It was always like, you know, who was going to be in the band next? And we'd always sit on a couch, and we'd all sit there. And Susan, even though you were really little, I remember you sitting there with us all. And so Dad would go, well, we need somebody in the band. Man, all of mine and Susan's hands would go right up. We'd go, yeah, make it us, make it us. And unfortunately, it wasn't us. And at that moment, okay, and John was picked. And so now the four of those guys are doing it. And then the Beatles come out, you know, and then it was all off the hook. And that's, and the Beatles is where they saw the fourth guy. They put Barry from drums to bass because Barry was just uniquely musically inclined to be able to do anything without knowing it. And then they put John on drums. And, man, Johnny took to the drums like Pete Best or Ringo Starr, you know.
I mean, yeah, he was quite amazing.
He was truly incredible, you know. And just to digress a little bit to your initial question was about the Partridge Family. You know, I just wanted to say this about that. And that is that without the Cowsills, for sure there would have been no Partridge Family because there would have been no family band that they would have created in those at that time of life, you know. And so... And we did, we turned it down because Mom wasn't going to be able to be in it. And, you know, the boys were all, you know, very gapped-toothed Catholics, as they call us.
They weren't real cute, Larry.
Yeah, not too cute. But Susan was really cute. And so they really wanted Susan. And they didn't want any of the other mess that we had to offer. But they did want Susan. And you know, that's her claim to fame, really, because we've heard this thing, a tape of a guy, you know, talking about the Partridge Family and the producers and them saying, yeah, the little girl, she was brilliant. I mean, she was terrific. She, and then the guy goes, but the guys, the brothers, they're all stick figures.
Yep, that's a direct quote from Sherwood, what's his name,
So right, but now let me finish this thought, and that is,
no, you go.
So without us, there'd have been no Partridge Family, and then we kind of go away, and we're all having kids, and, you know, we're getting together here and there, but nothing really intense, but all the years that we were laying kind of dormant, you know, or just on the down low, the Partridge Family was just playing and playing and playing and playing and playing. And every time that's playing, and any time there was an interview about it, even though we weren't really active, they always said, well, now, isn't this about the Cowsills? This is the true, and Shirley Jones, she'll tell you straight up, it's all about us, and, you know, and they took our story, and they did the best they could with it. And they did a great job. And so that's what I wanted to say about the Partridge Family. Without us, there wouldn't have been them, and without them, there wouldn't have been us right now.
There would be no us now. Yeah.
And honestly, that's a connection. Being a fan of both of yours and growing up around the time of the Partridge Family's meteoric rise, I never made that connection myself, personally.
Gotcha.
And then I was reading a little bit in preparation for talking today, and I said, well, yeah, I can kind of, of course, I could see that.
The bus, the mom, the little girl on the tambourine. Come on, Larry.
It takes me a while.
Come on, Larry.
So Fred Rogers and you and your family, for you to participate in this project is wonderful, but I'm sure that you were really motivated to do it because of how you feel about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Can you talk to me a little bit about your relationship with the program and its ideals?
I can.
Susan first.
Susan
I've called
was
on
really
you.
Young when he was on.
Well, yeah, Susan will be first and Paul's will be brief. His will be mostly about how he watched me watch it, no doubt. But because he's older. Mr. Rogers, in my world, and I guess I kind of discovered him late, but I don't know. It was probably 65, 60. When did he come out?
Well, it'd be the early 60s.
Okay, well, I'm there with him. And he, it was kind of interesting because, you know, there was a lot going on TV, Tom and Jerry and Huckleberry Hound and, you know, the Three Stooges and you know, everybody was clobbering each other all over the joint, and including in my house, because we're 7 strong and we're young and we're wrestling and carrying on with each other constantly. And then in this house of madness is this television in the corner with this little man with a sweater on, and he is talking to me really gently and very quietly, and he's speaking to just me. And this is, of course, my perception of Fred, and I'm sure it's all of ours. Anybody my age, we couldn't believe this one guy was talking to just us. And the specific nature of the things he was saying was everything we wanted and needed to hear, me especially. And then he could come back every day, and he'd be there with his sneakers and stuff. It was just, I don't know, it was magic, because I still thought TV was magic. You know what I mean?
And this probably would have been 1968, 67, 68 is about when it was when the national distribution on PBS happened, although he ran a little bit earlier than that, too. So depending
on... I saw him in Rhode Island. I did. We must have syndicated him. We were in Newport in Middletown. And I'm pretty sure I caught him there as well. But Los Angeles, we had moved to L.A., in 68, I guess, Polly, something like that.
Yeah.
And I do remember him at the Santa Monica house, too. And as I was growing up, I felt like I was growing out of Mr. Rogers, so I'd watch him on the sly.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, right?
You're not alone. A lot of people still do. And what about you, Paul? You remember watching your sister watch it, you said.
Well, because Susan lived with me when my children were babies. So Susan was just a part of my baby family. I was taking care of 3 babies instead of 2. And Mr. Rogers was there, you know, for even my kids. And they loved
Paul was more of a Sesame Street guy, but we tag team.
Yeah, as it got older, I was a Sesame Street guy, and I was so into all the Three Stooges stuff because I was right at that right age. But fortunately... I mean, fortunately, I say fortunately, too. I had my children, like, starting at 19, when I was 19. And so I was able to just kind of work through TV with them. And Mr. Rogers was a great place to sit them down in the afternoon, and I could get a little break.
Yeah,
And that's kind of how it rolled out for me. And then I would watch him and realize this guy was all about peace and love. And that's, you know, it's funny because that's what the councils are about. And it makes sense that we would have been into Mr. Rogers. And then to get the call to be able to do a song, we just had a song if we wanted to
Never
do it
mind.
On the compilation disc. We didn't realize we were going to get the holy grail of Fred Rogers music to be able to sing on this album. And when we got there and realized we were going to be able to do that, boy, it just became huge. But we were going to do it no matter what. That's not something, when you're offered something like this, to be a part of something like Fred Rogers and all of that, then you do it. You know,
do whatever.
You do whatever you've got to do to do it, you know. And we worked it out with the guys at Thank You, Mr. Rogers, and it all worked out for us.
It's a great release, and we're going to play your track in just of course. We are going to get the well, you know, Fred is from Pittsburgh originally, this area, and we here in Pittsburgh, we sometimes forget that we share Fred with the whole universe. He produced Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in the Oakland neighborhood where our universities primarily are located here in the Pittsburgh area. It was not uncommon to see him walking down the street. So we sometimes...
Can you imagine having Fred in your actual neighborhood?
Wow,
yes.
That would be crazy.
And a lot of those neighborhood shots look like Pittsburgh did back in those days, including the trolleys and everything else. It's nice.
Wait.
We just have a couple more minutes. Are the Cowsills actively out and about performing these days?
We just got off a tour of 53 dates in like 6 weeks. It's called the Happy Together Tour.
Wow.
And me, Bob, and Susan go out on that, and they have it's a cool thing. They have this six groups, and it's constant motion, and everybody does their hits, and we have one band backing us all, and we do that in the summer.
You know what
and then
it's
when
called?
The summer breaks, huh?
I was going to say, and it's called Happy Together.
Yes. It's called the Happy Together Tour, which is interesting. But then after that, Larry, then we come home and like we're leaving. In fact, I'm on my way to Portland, Oregon right now to fly out tomorrow, and we're going to go out to Lubbock, Texas. And this is with our band. You know, we lost our brothers, Barry and Billy.
Yeah.
And so what we've done is gone ahead and we put our kids in the band. And Susan's husband, Russ, is playing drums. And so we're still a huge family unit. That's happening. So we go out with our band all winter and record. We got a new album coming out. We have an a cappella album coming out in 2020. Mm-hmm. We are very active right now. Very busy, busy people.
I'm glad to hear it because your vocals on the song we're about to hear are just amazing. And
thank you, Larry.
You know, to be given the opportunity to interpret one of Fred's songs. And you've honored it. It still permeates his message and his intentions, but you add your own beauty to it and your own individualism to it, which is what makes it great. Is there anything before we play it and let you go? Is there anything I maybe didn't get a chance to ask you about that you wanted to mention?
Susan is passionate about Fred Rogers. And so we wanted Susan to do the lead. And then they said, no, we need a guy. And so then what we did was Bob and Susan both sing the lead vocal, and it creates this whole other voice. Do you agree, Susan?
It's like a third person.
It's like a third person, yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that. So that's Bob and Susan singing the lead on that. And it was very cool. We dug it. We had a great day that day in the studio.
That's your mom.
Super fun.
You know, your mom's imprint on both of you with those harmonies and knowing so well how to harmonize. Well, thank you both.
Yeah, we were lucky for that.
Thank you both for being with us.
I would like to say one thing,
Larry. Oh, yes.
Larry, I would like to leave your audience with one thing, and that is that though Fred is no longer on this planet, his message is eternal. And we need to be good stewards of his fine messages, okay? So everybody out there needs to be loving and compassionate and kind to one another.
Bottom and all they got to do that is to put the sweater and the sneakers on, and you'll feel it right away.
Yeah!
Thanks to both of you. Such
you
a pleasure
so
to have you with
Larry.
Us. Paul and Susan from the Cowsills.
My neighbor. won't you be my neighbor? Be my neighbor.